On this edition of the Cubs Recap Podcast, a presentation of our Recap YouTube channel and available audio only everywhere you get your favorite podcast, my partner Gordon Whitmire and I talk about the latest happenings with the 16-9 Cubbies. Welcome into the latest edition of the Cubs Recap Podcast, presentation of our Recap YouTube channel and available audio only everywhere you get your favorite podcast with my guy, my partner, Gordon Whitmire. I'm David Kaplan. Pretty good, kid. Cubby's rolling along. Let me just set the stage. Hendricks has been awful. Steele hasn't pitched since the middle of the opening game of the season. Bellinger's on the injured list. Let's see. Suzuki's on the injured list, and we just keep finding ways to win. 16-9, baby.
The rotation overall is not giving you enough innings. You've had two real bad bullpen blows, and you're 16-9.
Pretty good, kid.
Which is better than the Dodgers, who the Cubs swept, which is the third best record in the National League. It's crazy.
It is unbelievable, and I'm, you know, watching the game yesterday on my way to Soldier Field. I was over at the gym, and they had the game on. I'm eating my late lunch, and Hector freaking Neris walks the first two guys in the ninth. They have got to find a way to go get a closer. You cannot keep walking all these guys and keep escaping.
Here's the thing, Cap. That ship sailed when they didn't do it in the offseason. When they didn't do enough in the offseason, that you can't do anything until you get a couple months minimum into this season. You got to at least get into June and probably more into July before you're going to be addressing that. But they're already basically into May. They're a month into the season. And as we said, they got the third best record in the National League. If they can just tread water from this point, and they're going to get better with Steele coming back at some point before too much longer. You just tread water to get yourself in position by the time you get to midseason, and they can address this stuff then. That's when it's going to happen. But then they're on the clock again. Jed and ownership are on the clock again. They're luckier than hell that the team has performed the way it has, because especially with Hendricks, because Hendricks we thought was coming in and going to be healthy. You kind of looked at him like he could be a key to this thing, a linchpin type guy in the rotation, and he just hasn't had it. And you know, you hate to even think it, but you know, you start wondering how close to the end this is for him. But when he didn't perform, he already had Steele out. Now it's all about the kids, and the kids for the most part have stepped up. None more so than Assad, right? And you got the new guy, Imanaga, coming in and doing his thing. So Wicks has done a great job, too. So, but you're leaning really, really freaking hard on the kids, more than you expected to. And then now you got to start wondering, okay, is that sustainable?
Sounds like what I've been preaching to you. I'm going to keep teaching baseball.
No, no, no.
When I said, let the kids play, Gordon.
Yeah, you said let the kids play. That's great if you're the friggin' Oakland A's, or if you're the Brewers trying to transition a new group.
Or Tampa Bay.
You're the Cubs. You should be bringing these guys in one at a time where the pressure's off, not where they've got to fill these kind of roles. That's where you wind up with the volatility of young players coming into bigger play.
I want to read you something.
Look at the Astros. Look at the Astros with they leaned hard on some young guys as they transitioned. Didn't really, I mean, they've actually spent more than they have in recent years, but really not backfilled with the same level of talent. They're not having a good year. And, you know, you go back and look at one of their rookies last year, Hunter Brown.
Hunter Green?
Hunter Green's with the Reds.
Yeah.
Hunter Brown's with the Astros. And he hasn't been what they projected and expected. So, you know, that's been part of their issue as they've tried to sustain this thing. Nobody has sustained better in recent years than they have in terms of, you know, all those LCSs and things.
Let me read you a stat. This is from Aldo Soto over at Barroom. Since the end of the Padres series, pretty good sample size, the Cubs bullpen has been lights out with a 1.93 ERA, fourth best over 51 and a third innings pitch, seventh most in baseball. And Keegan Thompson, seven scoreless innings. Ben Brown, three scoreless innings out of the pen. Or Hayden Wisniewski, six and a third scoreless innings. And Yancy Almonte, five scoreless innings. Let's go. Now go get me a closer.
You're not getting a closer in April and May, all right? You're going to have to wait on that. That's what I'm saying. And are you going to bet the house on Yancy and Wisniewski, you know, getting the job done game over game over game over game for the next 2 months? I mean, these are the things that you hope that this is why you got the manager you got, right? That if he's the best manager in the game, he can maybe hold this together. They're doing a hell of a job at the outset of this season. And by the way, Cap, let me point something out to you. I've been watching this really close because I noticed in the schedule that the NL Central teams haven't played much of each other lately or to start the season. And they all have good records, right? I mean, the Cardinals are 11-14. They stink. And I said it from the outset. I didn't believe they got enough pitching. And it looks like they
did. You did say that.
But the Pirates, you know, they got up to a great start. They're still 500. When you subtract the few games that the division has played against each other, there's not a team in the division with a losing record. The NL Central against everybody else is 60-46, and everybody has at least a 500 record outside the division. So maybe either the rest of baseball is not as good as we thought. Maybe some of those key injuries that we've seen to big name players around the league is impacting that, or maybe the NL Central's a little better than we thought.
So I was talking to Jesse Rogers, our friend. Jesse really likes Mark Leiter Jr. And I do too. He's a good pitcher. I just don't think he's what you go, okay, here comes Mike Trout to the plate with two men on, and that's my guy. Like, I like him, but I feel like they have to get an upgrade. It may not happen here on the 26th of April, but to see them sit with a 16-9 record is really quite astonishing with the number of injuries they've had. And then yesterday, Verlander's dealing, and so is Javier Assad. It's a 1-0 game in the sixth. You find a way to get a little bit of a flare that gives you a fielder's choice. You tie the game, and then boom, Pete Armstrong, big bang, boom. See you later. Thanks for coming. Yeah. And then you close it down. Like, that's a great sweep over. I know the record's bad. There's talent on that Astro team.
Literally the last thing you're expecting or asking him to do.
Right.
All you said is come on up, play some defense, hold down the fort with us, and catch some balls out there in center field. And, maybe employ some good base running along the way. And he comes up big like that. So, you know, when teams have the kinds of seasons that get to the playoffs or that do damage in the playoffs, those are the kinds of contributions you get, right? And look, like we said, they're going to get better. I don't know how long. We don't know how long Bellinger is going to be out. We certainly don't know how long Hendricks is going to be out or what he's going to look like when and if he comes back. But Tyone is back. Steele's going to come back. At some point, Bellinger is going to come back. And Suzuki's going to come back. This team is going to get better. And by the way, we didn't even mention, they haven't played defensively like we've expected them to yet, which is kind of weird because supposedly defense never slumps. Mm-hmm. But that's got to get better, right? I mean, that's the one thing that you bank on more than anything else when you put strong defensive pieces together is that will show itself. So you figure that's going to come around and this team is going to get better. When it does, the contributions that some of these players were asked to make and just the experience that they had to get while winning games and contributing to wins is going to make them even that much stronger. So, kudos to the guys on the field. Credit to the manager for what he's done pushing the buttons, and go thank your lucky stars at the front office that they pulled your ass out of the fire.
I will tell you this. Here's another topic I want to discuss with you because I'm watching Christopher Morel become a third baseman in front of our very eyes. Like, he made a play the other day. I'm like, oh my God, where did that come from? He is getting a ton of work in before games. And he's talked about how they're trying to make him a third baseman. He said, I feel like I can play the position, but the pregame work has been essential. Line drive way up. He goes way up high, snares it. Then he has another one. He backhands. And I'm also watching when he throws now. He had a couple throwing errors. You and I talked about it. Where now he is setting his feet and he is rocketing the ball to first base. He's not lollygagging it or getting crazy. Boom! And it's working out so far.
Well, he's got the arm that he should have the time to set on most plays. When a ball gets down to third base, it usually gets there pretty quick. We'll see. I mean, that's all a good sign. It points in the right direction. It probably also, I would guess, speaks to confidence that's building around these guys, especially the younger players. He's still a young player. The idea, you win a few ball games, you have a little success, even if you're feeling it good at the plate and not really known for the glove, it can carry over a little bit sometimes. And in addition to all that work, so we'll see. I'd still like to think in terms of an upgrade over there, but until you can go find it from the outside, if he can work on becoming that from the inside, that's part of the recipe.
In terms of a series, now they go to Boston starting on Friday night. Three games. You'll have Imanaga pitch in this series. He has been sensational. Can he keep this up this early in the season? Is this realistic? I mean, he's literally throwing as well as anybody in the game right now.
Yeah. No. Only because it's such a high bar. Nobody can, right? It'll be interesting to see where it levels out, though. Everybody, you know, the Cy Young Award winners in their best seasons ever have a couple of those games. My goodness, I'm just looking at his stat line right now. It's the stuff of Cy Young's as we sit here. Two friggin' walks in four starts in over 21 innings. He can keep that up. That's within his control. No pun intended. He's gonna have some bumps, but. Boy, he's just been huge. He's just been huge all the way. And again, I can't say enough about Assad. I mean, without Javier Assad, none of this happens.
You know, you go back through last year and this year, and Assad's numbers are eye-popping. You know, I used to think of him as, yeah, this reclamation project type guy. He'll give you some long relief, maybe he can pitch a little bit in the seventh inning. All right, a spot start. All of a sudden, you go back through like 21 or 22 starts, and you're like, this guy's been phenomenal.
Sometimes guys just need the opportunity that they weren't going to otherwise get, and they knew it. The manager knows it. You're not going to get that opportunity, and then boom, something happens. All right, let me show you what I got. So, you know, I like what the kids got. He's still a kid experience wise, but he is 26. I can't say enough about his contribution because this just simply doesn't happen. And by the way, who saw Tyone coming and putting
and
up
dealing?
Jeez. I mean, I thought he might go back to a career mean, but he's been sensational too. So, you know, it couldn't honestly, Cap, if you had the stuff you opened up with on this, where you listed all the things that had gone wrong, I mean, the injuries coming into the season, the lack of aggressiveness to go get more depth in the offseason by the front office, all these things, if you'd have told me that, and then you look at what would you have guessed the record would be? It wouldn't be anything like this. This is probably best case scenario.
Yeah, no question. Now, the amazing thing is 16-9, half game behind the Brewers. Alzolay's blown four saves.
And the Brewers have the Yankees this weekend.
Correct. Alzolay's blown four saves. Now, I'm not saying he should be perfect, But if he blows two of the four saves, you have the best record in the game.
Right. Well, you take those two awful blows out of there. The San Diego game, it was an Arizona game.
Yep.
So you take those out, you're in first place. But you know, there's a few games in there you gut it out too. So there's that. And this bullpen's going to come and go. First of all, most bullpens kind of do anyway. And this bullpen, honestly, it just simply wasn't built. It wasn't going to be dominant unless young players stepped up. So getting what you got so far out of them is pretty good. And you said, you know, the numbers recently are phenomenal. Yeah, that ain't going to last. But if it kind of comes and goes and everything else begins to stabilize and maybe even gets a little better as guys get healthy, then you're in good position. Again, this is all about, this isn't about, boy, is this a playoff team? This is about, is this a good enough team to get a couple more months down the road and make those guys upstairs buy?
That's the thing.
Yes.
Now, how soon? I know you're saying April 26th, no one's going to make you a trade. Like, Oakland's not going to trade you Mason Miller unless you gave them some insane package that they would never do. I get it. How soon, if a team's up the track, don't tell me July. You got to be able to move quicker than that. You have to.
Middle of June. I mean, look, you can be ready all you want. You can have all your players lined up that you're willing to part with for X quality of player. You can have all that done. You still have to have the marketplace. Marketplace does not exist with one buyer. That's not a marketplace. If you want to go in and give half your farm system for one guy that's okay, you might be able to go get that done. But if you want to be in a competitive marketplace, if you want to maybe get as much as you can for what you're willing to give up, you can't. There's nothing that happens anywhere remotely close to this early unless somebody's trying to dump something. We see the occasional May trade being made. It's usually because somebody's got a roster crunch. They got a player they can't send out. They got a player that's got some value. They're going to hold on. They're not going to DFA him. They're going to hold on to him to try to get something for him. But now they got a roster crunch, so they do it. It takes extenuating circumstances. Barring that, and there's no reason to think that exists with guys you might target right now, it's going to be mid-June at best before anything resembling a marketplace develops.
Okay, of the teams you've seen, you see the Reds a lot, but of the teams you've seen, including them, who do you like, who don't you like?
Just saw the Phillies, and I've seen the Phillies for 7 games.
Yeah, I watched them beat the crap out of the White Sox, but my 16-over team could beat the White Sox.
Who hasn't beat the crap out of the White Sox?
Right.
And they actually had, who'd they have? They had Oakland and the White Sox back to back, and they put together some historic run for their starting pitchers. But they've got two guys. Zach Wheeler's dealing right now, and he's often dealing. And Ranger Suarez, a lefty, that guy looks really good right now. And you know who? They plugged in a guy because they had Taijuan Walker out, Spencer Turnbull.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been pitching well. He's not given him a ton of innings, but
he beat the White Sox. But again, that's not saying a lot. But right. I watched the game where Zach Wheeler had a no hitter with one out in the eighth.
Right.
Like,
right.
He's dealing.
He is dealing. And he just beat the Reds Thursday. Didn't have some of his best command, but I think he only gave up 2 hits or something like that. 6 or 7 scoreless, and the Phillies shut out the Reds. That's a team that is, I think they got a chance to beat the Braves for that division. So I like them, and keep your eye on everybody in the West below the Dodgers except the Rockies.
So they're horrible. The Rockies are horrible.
They're the worst.
I can't believe they're that bad. They're
easily the worst National League team. The Diamondbacks, the Giants, and the Padres have a chance to hang in there and be players in this thing. And if they I mean, they added late in the free agent season. And if they add at the trade deadline, any of those three could be really dangerous. So the Diamondbacks just lost Merrill Kelly to the IL. So that's a bit of a blow. But they got Jordan Montgomery. And when they get Kelly back, you know, that's more pitching than they had last year.
So let me ask you a question. Because if you had told me the Cubs would have all the injuries they'd have, I would have said, oh boy, this is going to be like 6-7 under and then keep fighting to get back there. Right. If you had told me the amount of injuries, and we're talking fairly serious, Justin Steele will have missed a month. He's close. Tyone would have missed a few weeks. He's back. Bellinger's now gone 4-6 with two broken ribs. And Suzuki's close, but not ready yet. But he's doing baseball activities. And Craig Counsell said, yeah, it looks really good. So if you had told me all that was going on, Hendricks would stink, and the bullpen would blow four saves, and it's April the 25th or 26th, I would have said to you, this isn't going to go well. The fact that they are where they are, where they are, encourages me that this could be a special season.
It could be. Now, the thing you're going to have to, you know, Mr. Wear My Cub fandom on my sleeve guy, where you're going to have to sort of check your emotions a little bit is when this goes wrong for a while. Because
what fun is that?
It will. Because of all the uncertainty and the adversity they're going through right now, and because that bullpen is anything but stable, they're going to have a stretch. And it might be this road trip. I don't know. I mean, the Red Sox, with qualifiers, better than a little better than were expected to be. And the Mets are actually pretty good. So play on a road, who knows? I mean, they could go 5-1 on a trip, or they could, you know, or they could go, you know, 2-4 on a trip. I don't know, but it's going to happen, right? They're going to have a stretch where it doesn't go right again. And it might be a little
bit. That's baseball. That's baseball.
Right. But it might be a week, it might be 10 days. And then you're going to be saying, oh, crap, they're only they're right around 500 again, or only two games over. They're in third place. Now a Jet needs to get a reliever now, you know, but then it'll come back again. This is what's going to happen. The idea is to get to the midway mark. We're 1 month in, you get 3 months in, and now it heats up. Now everybody's in play to make that team better, including the guys that are not in uniform.
Do you think people in the game are looking at the Cubs going, better than I thought, and reinforcements on the way? Cade Horton's off to a really good start. Ben Brown looks really good. Like, I would leave Ben Brown in the rotation, or I would close with him. I would not use him as a, you know, middle of the road relief guy. No, I'm either putting him in as my closer throwing 99 miles an hour, or I'm pitching him every fifth day. What would you do?
The way it is right now, mm-hmm. I'd use him as a reliever the way it is right now.
You wouldn't make him the closer.
I would continue to use him where I can get most leverage out of him. Where right now, I'm thinking Counsell's thinking the same way. I'm not declaring a closer. I'm going to Neris has experience at it, so he's my default guy. And then the rest of it would just be, don't tell these guys that they're the closer or not the closer. And when I got a hot spot, I'm going with the guy that matches up best for that hot spot. It's worked in the past. You can't do it forever. If you have closers on the roster, it makes it tougher to do. But with the way that the early season has gone out in that pen, and with the guys that you have there, you can do it with this group. And this group is going to change. If this team stays competitive into July, that's the group that's going to change. You may see a bona fide closer added to that mix, and that's when it'll happen.
Hector Neris scares the shit out of me.
He should. He should. And he's already shown on the field this season why. So
his contact.
First two at bats that you talked about in that last game.
His contact rate is one of the worst in baseball.
I mean, there's a reason he was available. So
yeah. And you paid him a lot of money. You paid him like $9 million or $8 million.
Well, that's not crazy, man. It's a short term contract. So you're fine with that. You needed somebody, you needed experience. He gives you that. And maybe on balance, he winds up having a better year than not. But you're going to make your noise at the trade deadline if you're going to do anything with that bullpen. I can't get over that it was right in front of them to do more if they wanted to. And then they could have done more without, even without it being Montgomery or Snell, they could have done more. I know that Jed had his budget and his budget was tight. That's on ownership and the whole thing. And this 16-9, 25 games in, there's a long way to go this season. That right there is enough to say, well, God damn it, guys. Why didn't you get more to kind of lock this thing in place? Because that's where your potential is.
I keep looking here at some stats and to see the amount of impact that they're getting from young players.
Yeah.
Like Miguel Amaya looks like a really good player finally. He really does.
He always was. He just always got hurt. So, it's perfect with Gomes cycling out.
He's probably gone at the end of the year, I would think.
I would think so.
I would think. Well, they got a 3-game set in Boston against the Red Sox. Should be a fun weekend of baseball. And then let's see what they do because Kyle Hendricks has already started to throw a bit, but they're going to send him for rehab assignments. So we'll see.
My guess is with him, I mean, his back is, we all know his back's not the issue. But he's probably going to take the better part of that month to figure stuff out. If he gets in a rehab routine and he's starting to feel, you know, having results and feeling his pitches, then he might be back a couple weeks in. But they're going to take every bit of time they can, unless or until he feels perfect, and they should.
Well. Gordon, have a great weekend. You're in Texas, right?
I'm in Texas checking out the defending champs.
All right. Have fun.
All right. We'll see you.
Enjoy. It's your kind of state down there, so have fun.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Don't get me started. Plus, this ballpark is friggin' ridiculous, man. It looks like from the outside, it's on like 80 acres or some damn thing. I mean, something crazy. And it looks like one of those you know, those con man televangelists with the mega churches and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like from the outside. And you can't find the entrance. It doesn't look like a ballpark. And then you get in and it's just so monstrous. Sometimes it's too much, man. Sometimes it's just too much. And this is one of those examples. Everything's upgraded and nice and super luxurious. But it's baseball, man. It's a ballpark. It doesn't feel. It has no feel to it. It's too much, man. Too much.
Well, I'll be tuned in. I'll have monitors going. I have the Cubs. I have the Rangers, Reds. I got to watch the division opponent. So it'll be a fun weekend. Have a great day.
All right, you too, man.
That's my guy. That's the great Gordon Whitmire. That's a wrap for another fun edition of the Cubs Recap Podcast, a presentation of our Recap YouTube channel and available audio only everywhere you get your favorite podcast. For Gordon, I'm Cap. Fly the W, baby. Take that.